got your floaters on, and you start out in this position. You walk straight down to the beach and you get in. And you're playing there a while, and you're playing a while, and all of a sudden you look to see where your stuff's at, and it's like 40 feet away from where you started. Because of the waves, the currents, the drawbacks moves you and pushes you into a different direction. And so that's just natural. That will happen. And when they come across, and God said in 3 days you're going to cross the Jordan, I'm surely thought, and it doesn't say this anywhere, but Joshua is probably thinking, well, why did we pick this time, this season? A few more months, we could just kind of walk across. But you know what? God wants to do the impossible in your life. Amen. So you have to give him credit. Israelites would have to give him credit. Amen. So things like this happen all the time. So the Israelites come to this obstacle before they can go and possess what God says that's theirs. They have a 30-foot river to cross. Or it's 30 foot deep. I forget the width of that. It's a long ways. You know, and sometimes in our lives, spiritually speaking, sometimes there's a Jordan River right in front of us. And we don't know how we're going to get across it. We don't know what we're going to do. We just see it there. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. Amen. So they're there standing, and they got an order from Joshua to get ready in 3 days, get your provisions, let's get this thing going. And I'm sure, because they'd heard the stories of the generation before, that after 430 years, they stood at the Red Sea of slavery. Not the Red Sea of slavery, but the Egypt of slavery. 430 years they were captive and held as slaves and built things for the Egyptians. So this time they were wandering in the desert for 40 years because they wouldn't obey, because they wouldn't step out in faith, because they wouldn't surge forth like God wanted them to. So that happened. So I wrote a few of these things down that was going to happen for them. The end of 40 years of walking in a circle, going nowhere fast. It's getting ready to end. The end of striving and never arriving is going to end. The end of being constantly reminded of past failures. And let me tell you what, the end of fear was going to take place. Amen. That moment was going to start a transition that would cause Israel from wandering from nation nation to being a settled nation. From people living in the hope of the promise to people living in the possession of the promise. There's big differences there. So I want to ask you this morning for you to search forth. Are you coming across a river that's stopping what God's trying to advance you forward to? We have to realize that there are impossibilities. Amen. But God is a God that deals with impossibilities and makes them possible. If Edison would have decided, I'm going to quit working on this light bulb, I've done it 1,999 times. I'm done. Spit. But he tried it one more time. even said that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Now, we just went through the first of the year. It's almost already mid-January, isn't that so? Some of you wrote down some New Year's resolutions. We went through this a little bit last week, and some of you have already failed on some of those. There's some of you still hanging on. I'm going to make it a whole month. But it all starts by taking the first step to accomplish what you wrote down. And of course, a lot of times we always deal with the weight. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to get fit this year. I'm going to clean the garage this year, or something, you know. But it takes that first attempt to get there. You have to start. When we were cleaning our garage for my birthday gift, which I didn't know about. My wife, every once in a while, we got to have a yard sale. I'm tired of everything in that garage. So I thought, oh, here we go again. And so, and we did that prior, so I thought, well, this is like out of timing. Normally she waits a few months and she said, we just got to get out there and clean the garage. And I thought, well, it's not really all that bad because we had the yard sale. We got things put away. We got rid of some stuff. And it took us approximately 3 hours. She gave up about 2 hours. I finished the last hour. No. Her sister came by or something, and they were talking and stuff and fellowshipping. So I stayed out there. I wanted to finish accomplishing what we set out to do, even though I didn't know what I was accomplishing for. But we did it about 3 hours, roughly, three and a half, I forget. And she came out, and I said, okay, I think we got it here. Everything's kind of put away, and, you know, my toolbox is still a mess, but, you know, that's stuff I can work on and different things. It's all over there. And she said, all this time, we were 3.5 hours away from victory. 3.5 hours saying this was bothering me. 3.5 hours. So it took a momentum force for us to go out there and start rearranging. You know, that's one thing I kind of don't like about Christmas. You bring everything down, and then it don't go back up the same way. But it took 3.5 hours. She kept saying, 3.5 hours to victory. We've been working on this thing for years. We were just 3.5 hours away. And let me tell you something. If you don't ever start to surge forward in something in life, you'll never get there. Amen. If you never start learning your ABCs, you'll never learn them. You'll never get to sing the song. Amen. But I tell you what was probably happening, and not in necessarily in the Bible, but a lot of them were having apprehension about crossing the Jordan. Here we got a new leader. Moses has died. Is this guy listening clear? Because if he is not listening to God speak to him clear, we're going to get in the middle of that thing, and we're going to get washed away. It's something, it was something for them really to think about. Is Joshua our leader? Is he hearing from God? And we're so grateful he was. So I think as they were crossing or getting ready to cross the Jordan, I think they were saying this is full surrender. If I was in bondage for 40 years, wrestling through, I'm in surrender to the Lord. I'm going to go across this thing because I don't want to walk around the desert anymore. God promised me a land flowing with milk and honey, and I want to get there. I want some honey. I want some milk. I don't want the manna. Manna's good, but it's just, you know, every day. And I think as we're going forward in this new year, we have to really realize, are we going to surge forward? Are we going to be in preparation time a little while, which is okay, but don't plan on staying there. Prepare yourself to move forward in the things of the Lord. A lot of you today are being in Owens Hill. You are preparing yourself to move forward, amen, because you're getting yourself discipled, you're getting yourself on a solid rock, you're preparing yourself to be a viable student of the Word of God, you're preparing yourself to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Galatians 2:20 says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is I no longer who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith by the Son of God, who lives and gives himself to me. Amen. We have to realize that we are not our own no more. We were bought with a price, and that was through Jesus. Amen. So I want to give you three things that will help you prepare to search. Help you to get ready to go forth in this upcoming year. Get you ready to go forth in your everyday life. And the first one is you got to prepare your heart. Amen. They spent 3 days preparing for a miracle. They spent 3 days getting ready to move. The people were given instructions on how they were spiritually prepare themselves for the next act of faith. They were to consecrate themselves. There's one verse in there, consecrate yourself, for the Lord will do wonders among you. Let me tell you what, he hadn't been doing wonders for 40 years like they wanted. Amen. They were ready. But lurking probably in a lot of their hearts was this issue of change and fear. Fear that I'm going to get over there and Jericho is going to be bigger than us. They heard the stories of how all the big people lived over there, giants. From their relatives that passed away. Joshua kept reminding them that they're serving the living God. Amen. One thing that keeps us as Christians back is the idea that we got to be perfect before God can use me. Well, if that was the case, none of us get used. He's not looking for perfection, although that we're striving for that, says in the Word. But he's looking for people who will surrender their lives and obey and follow him. In other words, let me say it to you like this, ladies. If you're waiting for your husband to change overnight, unless an absolute miracle of God happens in his life right then, it's going to be a process. Men, I can look around here and I can see people, men that have went through this process. Man, they were all messed up. All torn apart, not living right, not doing the right thing, and all of a sudden the Lord has gotten a hold of them, and bit by bit, things get torn away, habits start to break, and they start realizing how good God is. Amen. Now, ladies, thank you. Just serve the Lord, okay? No. You change progressively too. Amen. It's a work, but God's moving us towards that perfection. Amen. We don't have to stay messed up our whole life. We press towards the mark of the high calling. Amen. So we have to keep our heart in ready preparation for what the Lord is doing. We need a heart. When I say heart, I'm talking about our spirit being. That is good ground for the Lord to work on. If the Pharaoh would have let the Israelites go, his heart would have been softened. And the Lord finally softened it. But he didn't have to wait. And after it softened, it hardened right back up. Amen. As the light of the Word works on our hearts, we become more and more aware of the change that are needed in my life. The stronger I get with the Lord, the more it seems like He points out another thing that I need to work on. And I say, well, so-and-so don't seem to have to work on that. Why do I have to work on that? And I hear the still small voice, because you need it. They're working on something else. Amen. And then I hear what you're working on. I say, okay, I'll work on mine. Yeah, not a problem. No. But our hearts need to be softened. They need to be pliable. The Word needs to be massaged. The Spirit needs to be put in there. It's in there. Just got to work. Allow Him to work. The next thing you got to do is focus on your eyes. Joshua gives specific instructions to the leaders of Israel that they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant that the priest would carry. And the Bible says that they had to stay 2,000 cubits behind the priests that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. So you look at what is 2,000 cubits. That is roughly a half mile and just a hair more. And they were not to get out of sight of them, because they were not going somewhere they knew. So my literal thinking, I'm thinking, I wouldn't want to be in the front of the line. What happens if they get a little closer than a half mile? Something could happen. When God gives instructions, He means it. Hallelujah. So you focus on your eyes. Now let's just talk a moment about the Ark of the Covenant. It was much more than an expensive piece of furniture that should be kept behind security glass so that no one would damage it or steal it. It's much more than that. The Ark was more than just a religious relic containing the dusty old Ten Commandment tablets, an Aaron's rod, and maybe some moldy bread. Is much more than that. It was more than a reminder of the good old days when Moses was in charge. God provided manna and water in the desert. It's much more than that. It was much more than a reminder that Israel had sinned, and 40 years earlier that they had been in the land earlier. It was much more than that. The Ark of the Covenant was a physical representation of God's presence, And when they followed the ark, they were in actually following God. Isn't that something? Now let's bring that home to 2,000 years later. Well, probably 3,000, whatever. We are to follow God. We are blessed to have God living on the inside of us. And He will lead you, He will guide you, He will direct you, He will light your path, He will show you the way if you let Him. Amen. You got to keep your eyes on Him. Hallelujah. There was no Israelite there expected to search their own path to the promised land. Sometimes we think, well, I'll go my way and do it my way, and I'm sure God will follow me. That don't work very good. Well, I'm sure God didn't really want me to do it like this. I'm sure God don't want me to come to Him and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. But I'm telling you, God's got His rules, and for us to follow Him, sometimes we need to go to Him and say, you know what, I messed up. And you know what He does? He is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and it puts us back in right standing. Amen. Have you ever seen those planes? I've never seen it in person, obviously, but the Air Force jets, they'll fly, and they get refueled in the air. And they're coordinating back and forth with the pilot, with the fueling plane, and this and that, and going, and they got to hit that just right for that to hook up so they can refuel. And you know what? I'm sure those pilots have been trained. They didn't put a rookie pilot in there the first time to line that up. Oh, I can do that. No. A rookie pilot sat next to the real pilot. I guess it's co-pilot and pilot. And you know what? I think it's that way with us sometimes. God wants to connect with us in the most powerful way. But we're thinking, I can do my own thing. I can run around over here. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to run out of fuel, and you're going to go down, and it's not going to feel good. But when we realize, hey, I need a fill up from Jesus. You know what's a good time to fill up? In the morning. I need a Holy Ghost fill up right now. Amen. I got to go to work and talk to these people that are not friendly. I got to deal with some situations at work. And you know what? My wisdom, my revelation isn't working, but God has supernatural wisdom, supernatural revelation that He wants to give us each and every day. But we just got to hook up. Amen. Computer terms, we got to have a download. Amen. We have a race to go forward in. You know, in this year, we're going to surge forth like never before. We're going to see this church increase by 100 people. Amen. I believe that. And you think, well, where are they all going to sit? I don't want to give up my seat. Pastor, I've been sitting here for long. I know you have. Sometimes you guys trick me out and move, and I don't know, I think you weren't here or something. And then, but no, if we got to increase services, we'll increase services. We'll get wisdom from on high. But you're going to search forth, and you're going to invite, and you're going to bring, and you're going to set with, and you're going to encourage. And we're going to start seeing more lives change. As I said last week, it's not about the numbers. It's about affecting lives. Amen. We want more lives to be changed. We want more lives to be on a solid rock. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, I think this is out of the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip away off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Looking unto Jesus. Those are words of salvation. Looking unto Jesus, those are words of encouragement. Looking unto Jesus, those are words of direction. Looking unto Jesus is encouragement to live daily life. Amen. Everybody is looking for something. Let me ask you, what have you been looking for? I want to encourage you this morning to look to Jesus. Amen. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. Amen. I read this illustration yesterday. There was this family that they were raised up in the mountains of West Virginia, who had never seen a city or bright lights or modern inventions. He married a girl from the hills, and they spent their married life in the backwoods. Their son was creatively named Junior. As Junior was reaching his 16th birthday, his dad began to realize that he wouldn't be with them forever, and that if for some reason he left and went to the city, he wouldn't know what to expect, and he would get chewed up and spit out. And so he said, Ma, we're going to save and we're going to go on a vacation to the city. And so they did for a couple years. And they got to the city. They pulled up at the hotel. And they stepped on this thing and the door opened. Pretty amazing. And they walked in and they looked up and they saw a chandelier that was hanging down from the third story. Beautiful. They walked around a little bit and they told Ma, me and Junior is going to walk in here. You stay in the truck and we'll let you know when you can come in. Make sure it's safe. So they were walking around and they were the son and the dad and Junior were looking and they were seeing different things and they said, man, this is just amazing. And all of a sudden they looked and kind of in the center of the room was these doors that opened up. And then there was numbers above the door. And they would see people go in these doors and the doors would shut and numbers would start appearing. And then they would see the numbers start coming down and the doors would open up and different people. They thought, how's this happening? And then they would see it again. They were mesmerized for several minutes there watching this. And finally, here comes like this really elderly lady walks into the elevator. Nobody else walks into it. And she, the door's shut and they see the numbers go up. And probably less than a minute later, the door's open and here's this beautiful young lady. And Dad told Junior, go get Ma. The point of the story. That really don't happen in elevators, no. The point of the story is when you're surging ahead and you're doing some things you never done before, like asking people, hey, do you want to come to church with me on Sunday? All of you in OSL get to have that opportunity every week. Amen. It gets you over that. And it's not just rolling down your windows. You see somebody at a stoplight. You want to go to church? No. We want you to write their name down. Something personal. But as you go and we start surging it and we start doing new adventures, I'm thinking, looking at Stina here earlier, I thought, there's several people that are on a new surge in their life that they hadn't been there before. They might be doing the same thing, but it's all changed. Everything changed for Mark's business this last week. Totally new. Different. Amen. Some of you are learning how to cope and how to deal with things that have been a loss to you. It's a new season, but you're going to surge forward. You're going to go in new directions. And the thing is don't allow fear to get you away from what you know you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Fear will cause you not to ever reach the next horizon God is telling you to go achieve. Fear will put a chain on you and hold you back when God says, I want you to go forward. Amen. When we were going to St. Lucia, we had our suitcases, and we were taking stuff for the missionaries, John and Debbie. So we had two other suitcases. We had like four suitcases at least with us. And so there, we had to get out. And I put a big suitcase on top of my suitcase. And you know, at the new stuff they have where they have for the little dots on the ground and stuff for the blind so they know that they're stepping out into a street or that and that. I'm trying to roll this heavy suitcase that was at its limit, and then I was rolling another one at its limit on top of that, and my wheel caved in on my suitcase. That's what I thought. Oh, no. And so we're trying to get this wobbly suitcase to the next terminal so we can go check in. And I kept thinking, how am I going to, I just bought this thing. And I thought, how am I going to fix this? Well, when we finally got to St. Lucia and got it all unloaded, I was able to, because it's kind of carbonite, so I was able to pound it back. So as long as I don't put nothing heavy on it again here, we'll be fine. Amen. But I wanted to tell you, just because you're soaring into something, but if you're all weighted down with life's past problems, you are going to get stuck where you're at. If you're allowing things that you should have turned over to God and freed yourself, then you know what you're doing? You're holding yourself back, and you can't get forward. It's like a rope. You want to stretch it, but it's like a bungee cord. You go forth, and then it throws you back. We have to lighten our load. Amen. So there's things that we have to get rid of to surge forth. Amen. Joshua 3:8 says, you shall command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come into the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Let me tell you, the last one here is to walk with your feet. Amen. The priests were commanded to come to the river's edge and wait for God's instructions. And God said, I'm going to freeze this water up. I'm going to freeze it back to a place called, I think it was Adam, and the other places I can't pronounce. And he did. And they walked through. Amen. Now verses 12 and 13. It says, now choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the waters, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand like a wall. So as the priests carried and they stepped, the water, God, intervened. A step of faith is where you step out of what you know in your reasoning and you step and do something that God's told you to do. And he meets you there. The priest stood into the water that was flowing very rapidly, and they stood there, and all of a sudden God intervened in the whole situation and brought back the waters on both sides so that the people could cross on muddy ground. I don't think it says that, do you? I think it says on dry ground. They didn't even have to clear the mud out of their sandals. Amen. God will take over and above care of you when you decide to step forth with him. Isn't that good news? Amen. But we have to surrender our will, what we want, and say, God, I want what you want. Amen. God, I want what you want. And God isn't going to take everything from you. God isn't probably going to call you to Africa or some other land that you don't want to go to. He might, but more than likely, he's just going to have you do some steps that'll get you where you need to go. A lot of people get so afraid, well, if I surrender here, God's going to put me somewhere I don't want to be. Well, if God is going to put you somewhere you don't want to be, he's going to change your heart before you get there. Amen. That's what he does. A lot of you landed right here in Bullhead City. And you thought, how did I get here? But now you love it. You don't want to live nowhere else. That's like me. I like this place. He placed us in a place where you can thrive. Amen. Yeah, does it get warm during the summer? Yeah, but he invented air conditioning for Bullhead City. Amen. So you could thrive here. He built covers to go over your steering wheel so you can touch your steering wheel when you get in after the grocery store. Amen. So you could thrive here. Amen. I believe this is out of the Message Bible, Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. It says, when you're over your head, I will be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be dead. It won't be a dead end, because I am God. I'm your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. Amen. Hallelujah. He's paid the price for us. All we got to do is surrender. So if you're in this waiting zone, not really sure if I can surge or not, well, start preparing to surge. Start seeing yourself out there. Start seeing yourself talking to me. Start seeing yourself doing some things that you wouldn't normally do for the Lord. Amen. Show yourself friendly to an unfriendly world. It works. God works. His word works. And we're going to surge this year. And we're going to go forth like never before. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Maybe you're here and you never have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior.